an unorthodox meeting. The captain's orders were to approach the Spanish ship as quietly as possible. With the light wind, it was almost conceivable that they could creep in unnoticed, but if a watchman was in his post, their detection was certain. Captain Tentry left the wheel to his second-in-command, Henry, a middle-aged man who traveled the world and back many times, and he descended to the open platform to meet his fighters, who were vicious as snakes and violent like hurricanes. He knew that if he was not present because he was detained by some fine detail of his ship, their true selves would emerge with ferocity. He was familiar with each one and well-versed of their origins. Thus he refused to take a chance and let them seize the Spanish ship without his command. They obeyed and perhaps feared him. He was the best sword in the seven seas, but that alone could not guarantee his safety. He was well aware of his shortcomings, so he paid more attention to them than his strengths. He signaled them to lower their torsos and hide behind the siding of the ship. If the Spanish vessel was alerted to their approach, they could surprise them with a quick attack. He had performed this type of operation all the time. It was a routine that everyone was familiar with. He took his sword out, but kept it by his side. It was not time yet to invade the Spanish ship, which surprisingly displayed no signs of life. It had bulky dimensions for a vessel, and Captain Tentry could not remember seeing anything like it. He waited for a few seconds that felt like hours and listened carefully for any sounds, but nothing was moving, dead or alive, on the ship. When they were dangerously close, he jumped from the edge to the other deck with his sword raised high and ready to strike. He turned his head to see his followers crossing the gap acrobatically. It was unusually eerie to observe an empty ship sailing the sea with no command, unless its occupants were hiding.
"Spread out and search every corner. Be cautious," he advised, not because he personally cared for any of them, but losing even one crew member would impact his image and reputation when he arrived back on the island.
He took two of his men and headed to the cargo. A vessel like that could reveal unmeasurable wealth, but then a thought came to him that the ship may have already been raided. He feared that all the treasures and fine goods were gone, yet leaving it behind was unthinkable by their rules. He squeezed his eyes to see around him as if that would improve his sight. The pale moon followed his gaze, but still he had a hard time making out forms in the shadows. He grabbed a torch from beside the door and two others that were lying unlit on the floor and gave them to his men. He looked at the lit torch, bewildered by its presence on the empty frigate. Finally, he pulled the door open sharply and entered the dark corridors of the ship, following a short staircase to a long hallway with doors on either side of it.
"Should we check every cabin?"
one of the men asked. Only an idiot would ask a question like that, but Captain Tentry was not in the greatest mood, so he let it pass without comment, and just grunted monosyllabically in reply. His mind was preoccupied with ideas that came and went about the mystery of the vessel. Was it a phantom ship full of spirits that would empty their souls into them? Or was it the result of an attack and raid? Both possibilities were probable. He left his men behind, checking the cabins while he walked straight to the end of the corridor where he could see another door swung slightly ajar. He did not like it. The silence filled him with uncertainty, but he moved forward nonetheless. He slowly pushed the door wide open, holding the torch in front of him to light the room. A table and chair stood empty in the middle, filling the room with shadows in all kinds of shapes. Despite his tough reputation, he did care about his soul. It was not up for grabs, and the shadows looked like hands ready to snatch it. He stayed still for a while, perhaps a few seconds, before he gathered the courage to go further. The flickering shadows fucked with his mind. He turned his head for assurance that his men were just a few feet away. It seemed there was nothing in the room, so he was ready to exit and explore another level when a treasure chest caught his eye. Could it be that someone was guarding it? Perhaps the captain of the ship was in charge of it. Why was it left behind? Perhaps it was empty. He approached it slowly, still cautious, his head filled with images of dark figures that reached deep inside him and uprooted his heart. It looked unlocked, welcoming and oversized, and he should be smiling with the discovery, but something just didn't feel right. He touched it, and the wood felt rough under his fingers and palm. He opened it, but there was no treasure hiding in the chest, just clothes.
Woman's clothes.
He picked up an article to inspect it closer. It was a fine piece, and as he imagined the body wearing it, his heart's beat quickened. Oh, he missed the warmth of a woman's body so much. How long had it been? Months, perhaps, but he would not sleep with just anyone on the island. His interests were very specific, and only a few could awake his desire to take them. Kiki was one of them. She was a fine woman, and she had fallen for him. He turned his attention to the trunk again, sensing that something had moved in it. He began taking the clothing out at a faster pace now, and when he was done, his heart began to dance again. It was surely a person hiding under the pile of clothes, a fine human being that would wake a dead person. Captain Tentry lowered the torch towards the woman who was still playing dead. She was very much alive, as her chest, a splendid chest, moved in normal intervals.
"Okay, come out," he said, like it was the most ordinary thing, as if they were children playing hide-and-seek in the dark rooms of their house. Her eyes opened and she grabbed the trunk to pull herself out, ignoring his offered hand. Did she already despise him because he was on board a vessel that did not belong to him? "Who are you and what are you doing on my ship?" Captain Tentry removed his hat, revealing a most attractive pirate, and though there was harshness carved in his features, his eyes hid a softness of kindness and compassion.
"I'm Captain Tentry," he said with the confidence of a gentleman, but he dared not kiss her hand. "And this ship is without command, so anyone may claim it."
"This ship belongs to me. I'm the captain," she replied with almost a rebellious tone.
He wanted to laugh hard, throw his hat on the ground, and take another look at her. She was an audacious, independent woman, and she was very pretty as well. Her hair was tangled in a big mess, yet she looked attractive, and the intense curls appeared as plain waves now. Her eyes were dark. He could not distinguish their color, and it did not matter. They looked like immense oceans that he could get lost in, and her eyelashes were stunning.
"A captain should have command of his ship and not hide in a trunk."
"A captain was in command before she was approached and raided by pirates and before her men were lost in a storm," she replied, her voice crisp with anger.
"Okay, let's have a seat and you can tell me all about this predicament of yours," he said with a touch of amusement as he secured the torch inside a loop to the side of the table and waited for her to sit.
"My father warned me about pirates that are unethical, uncompromising, and certainly without manners," she said as she daringly observed his face for a second, and then jumped up as soon as Captain Tentry's men entered.
"It's okay," he said to her as he turned to face his men. "Go," he said as he dismissed them. "Leave me to figure this out, and we'll be right out."
His men obeyed reluctantly after looking her over with lust-filled eyes, ready to take what they thought belonged to them because they were stronger. Captain Tentry recognized their intention and quickly closed the door behind them. He sat down again.
"Don't be afraid. I have control of them," he said, as if to assure both her and himself that nothing malevolent would happen to her. "Now, where were we? Oh, yes, you were telling me about your unique position of being the captain of this ship, and I would love to believe you, but I can't. How is it that a creature like you came to be commanding a ship alone in dangerous waters?"
"You think that I'm not capable?" she laughed indignantly. "I declare that my competence guiding this ship is real. My father taught me the trade from a very young age, perhaps fearing that a son would never be born carrying his name and abilities. He was right. My mother gave him 5 girls, and I was the only one willing to learn."
"So what happened to your father and your men? If you're so capable, how did you come to lose everyone?"
He could not curtail his sarcasm for unknown reasons, and he almost regretted using such a harsh tone. What if she truly cared about them? "I lost them because they were too loyal and they wanted to protect me above all. When the bad weather moved in, they forced me to retreat to my secret cabin, and when the ship went underwater battling the waves, I lost my balance and hit my head hard. I'm not sure how long I was unconscious, but when I woke, no one was here. I'm not sure what happened to them," she replied, her voice trembling remorsefully at their demise. "I know they're lost," she concluded with finality.
"You can't wander the seas without a destination,"
Captain Tentry said, changing the conversation when he realized the sincerity of her emotions. He could not handle a woman crying in his presence because he didn't know how to approach and calm her down. He had to safeguard his interest, and the only way he knew to avoid the messiness of an emotional scene was to change the topic.
"I know that. Your observation is equivalent to idiotic," she retorted sharply with a mocking laugh,
back to her own confident self and seething with a tongue as potent as poison.
"Thank you for your sincerity, but insulting me will not help you in your present situation. You need me, at least for now."
She remained silent. Of course, the captain knew what she was thinking. She had to bide her time and temper her fury and insults until she was back on her own feet again. Probably she was unwilling to be civilized to a savage, a ruthless pirate who would sacrifice anything. She stood in silence and turned her back to him. He was almost certain that her face would betray her in her conflicts, and that she was afraid that she would become vulnerable. Captain Tentry smiled.
"What do you propose?" she asked as she briskly turned to face him, strengthening her resolve.
I will take you to safety, but this ship is now mine. It is a fair trade, I'm sure you'll agree, but if you accept, then we are going to have to make some serious changes.
Changes?
Yes, your appearance needs to be altered, he answered. You're way too pretty to be safe from the pirates on the island, and you'll need to be protected. Even in my house, you'll be in danger.
Wait a minute. I consider my own home safe and not an island full of pirates. You'll have to take me to Spain.
My men have been at the sea for a very long time, and the winter is approaching fast. We were on our way back when we happened to come upon your vessel, and if I tell them now that we need to travel for another month to bring your majesty back, a riot will erupt that even I will not be able to contain, and your safety will be at risk, I assure you.
How do you propose that you are going to change my appearance? She asked with a touch of uncertainty.
Cut your hair, change your clothes, make you look more like...
Like a man? She said doubtfully as she completed his sentence.
Agreed, then.
What about the men who already saw me?
Gold buys everything, he said dismissively. I will have to bribe them and hope that they'll never speak of it until you are back home. Of course, you are going to buy their silence. You are going to give them as much gold as needed.
Captain Tentry knew that Elizabeth had no options and that pretending to be a man was easily accomplished. Besides, she appeared familiar with the sea and she claimed that she could navigate a ship. These were good qualities to have. One more question. How could you possibly explain my presence on the ship?
No one needs to know specific details, he answered lightly. You are a pirate from other seas who survived the rough waters while trying to take command of the ship. The rest you can make up as you go.
Agreed, she whispered beneath her breath, as if she were ashamed of the deal she made with the devil before her. She already hated him for what he was, Captain Tentry was certain.
I'll get you something to wear, he said,
gesturing to the garments loosely scattered across the wooden floor.
These fine dresses are not fit for a pirate, I'm sure you'll agree.
These are for my sisters, she replied and turned her back to him again as if she despised his face. Captain Tentry observed her back, tilting his head to take everything in. There was something about her that made him think twice before he acted in an inappropriate manner. He walked out with her image burned in his mind and almost tripped over one of his men waiting outside. He instructed his men to keep everyone out of the room until he came back, promising a handsome sum of gold. His return had to be immediate, however, because he could never trust anyone, particularly these men who were at sea for such a long time.